For the rest of us, if you could turn in your hard copy or your electronic version of your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Okay, everybody there? So holding on to your Bible, I just want you to close your eyes and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. She gets it. And I'll never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. My goal as this guy is to help y'all be these guys and gals. And so I am wearing this because I believe you guys are awesome. You guys are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's really hard to improve on that. And so my goal is to teach you the Word of God so that the declaration we just made will be reality in your lives. Without us having that mindset, then we're just basically going to be some people that are hoping somehow God randomly does something in our lives. If He does, great. If He doesn't, well, oh well. I'm just going to keep slogging through. It's like, that's not why we are called. We are called for a purpose. God's got specific things for each one of us to do. You guys are all awesome. You guys are all special. I totally believe that. You were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, if somebody paid $20 for you, you know what your value would be. One drop of Jesus' blood is worth more than all the money that's ever been printed or ever will be printed. That's your value. And so when we say, I'll never be the same, it's because God's Word, the indestructible, incorruptible, powerful Word of God is active in me, changing you. Okay. So this year, this is what I really believe. This year we're going to move forward. 2022 is going to be the best year for all of us. It's going to be our best year ever. Amen? Oh, we can do better than that. This is going to be our best year, right? Amen? Amen? There we go. All right, good. Help me out here. Help me out here. So the great thing is, as all of us have our best year ever, collectively, the family that comes to this building is going to have the best year ever. And as individually we have our best years ever, and our families have our best years ever, and this church has its best year ever, guess what else is going to happen? Newhall's going to have its best year ever. And that's really why we're here. That's why we meet here in this building in Newhall. Because God put us here to affect them, to help them, to love them the way He loves us, and to invest in them the way He invests in us. Amen? That's the bigger picture. It's not just whether I'm happy today. Do I feel jovial today? Okay, then I guess it's good at church. No! Hold on a second. I came in here to get something from God, so when I leave, I have something more than what I showed up with. So I can lay hold of what God laid hold of me for. That's my favorite Bible verse, Philippians 3:13. I want to lay a hold of what God laid hold of me for. Why did God get a hold of you? You're here at church on Sunday morning. God got a hold of you. You didn't accidentally head to Walmart and end up here today. You got here today because you meant to get here today to hear the word of God today. That means you've got some idea that God in heaven got a hold of you at some point and he's got more for you. That's what today's message. So this is going to be our best year ever. Are you at 2 Peter chapter 1? Okay. Before let's actually start out at verse 12. Then we'll backtrack because I want to show you what I was talking about a little bit earlier. Peter's going to start out, he's going to talk about these amazing things. He's going to talk about the precious promises of God. He's going to talk about how by faith we can lay hold of the divine character of God in us. We can have God in us through his promises. He says, but I'm just basically reminding you of this. I've already told you this a few times. In fact, I know I've told you this stuff so many times that some of you are getting irritated. Look what he says, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You're born again. You're already walking this thing out. Verse 13. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you're always have a reminder of these things after I die. Peter's saying, I get it that I've said this many times. I get it, you guys already got this. But I'm just going to keep reminding you and pound on this and pound on this and pound on this until it's a way of life. God laid hold of me for something and I'm pushing in to get all that he has. I'm just going to keep pounding it. We're not here to do church, to have a good church service, get out on time, say, oh, well, I went to church. No. We came here today to get a hold of God because he's got a hold of us. Amen. All right. So now let's backtrack. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 2. This is what Peter says to his crowd. And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us by the word of God through the Bible to each one of us. Grace and peace multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things, say all things, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Do you get a glimpse of what Peter's telling us in this short passage? He's saying, grace and peace be multiplied. You already got grace and peace through God. You got born again through Jesus Christ, through grace. Here's more grace and peace. More grace and peace. So that through the grace of God, the power of God, grace is the power of God to do God's will in our life. Here's some more power to do God's will. Here's some more power to do God's will. Look at what God's given us. He says, grace and peace multiply to you because through Jesus Christ the Lord, he's given us divine power. And if you look that up in the original language, in the wording, it means through the identical resurrection power of Jesus Christ is active in you. I got resurrection power today, the same power that took his dead body and turned it back to life. That same, he says, by his divine power, he's given to you all things that pertain to life. Think of all the things in your life. This covers every single situation going on in your life and my life. Every single thing. Whether you've been married for 32 years, you just got engaged last year, no matter what it is. Got fired from your job, started a new job, whatever it is. This covers all things that pertain to life. Oh, and by the way, and just in case you think, well, some of that's not spiritual, well, let's just cover that. Covers everything in life and everything with godliness. All things in life and all things in godliness by his divine power working in us. Wow. We're saved by grace and we grow by grace. Sometimes we can start thinking, well, you know what? I quit smoking. I quit swearing. I quit drinking. I'm mostly a good guy most of the time now. I go to church most of the time. I read my Bible once in a while. I pray once in a while. I'm a pretty good guy. I think I'm growing. I got saved by grace, but now through my effort, I'm improving. That's the theological term for nonsense. We get saved by grace. Through using, applying His grace in us, we get in the Word, we focus on God, and by His grace we grow into Christ's likeness. Wow. What you get by grace, you can't lose. Gift is a free gift. If it's by earning, then I only get to have this status. I get to be a Christian as long as I act completely like a Christian. But as soon as I quit acting like a Christian, uh-oh, now I'm not a Christian anymore because it's all by works. Baloney. We're saved by grace. So I am a Christian. I am Christ-like because God says so, because I put faith in His Son. Therefore, I'm born again, and I can't lose it because I keep my faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. By grace, we get completely forgiven. And then Peter takes it. He goes, I just want to make sure that you get this. Grace and peace multiplied. Grace and peace multiplied. Because if we're going to lay hold of the truth of God and we're going to walk in it, we have to have more grace. We have to receive more grace. Otherwise, we'll get stuck in our human thinking and we'll filter stuff through how we feel. We'll filter stuff through how people have been treating us. We'll filter stuff through the past instead of filtering things through the Bible and through God's promises for the future. God's faithfulness shapes our future, not our past. If we let our past determine our future, then we're always going to be stuck in our brokenness. Whew. Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace. So you can walk in the divine power and you can lay hold of His exceedingly great and precious promises. Whew. So you guys seen this, the t-shirt. I mean, I talked about it for the last little while. I was going to wear this. And I want you guys to know I'm wearing this because I believe it. You guys give me my value and worth. If you guys all leave here today, I'm no longer a pastor. It's as simple as that. It's that you guys come in here to get something from God through me that gives me any value. You guys are like, whoa, that's pretty harsh. It's just true. Let's just speak truth. On the other hand, if you want to be pastored, then you have to give me authority. I only have the authority that you give me. I don't have any authority that I jam on you. My authority rests in the idea that you're trusting God to use me to bring His will into your life. So when I come to you and I say, stop doing this or start doing that, you'll go, well, that must be God's best for me. Let me pray about this and try doing this. Or you can go, three pastors have told me to do that before. I didn't do it for them. I ain't doing it for you. Okay, I'm not your pastor then. I might talk at the church you go to, but I'm not your pastor. A pastor shepherds the flock. I wore this today because I wanted to speak very plain. Through the grace of God, this can be our best year ever. For this guy and for these people. Do you know I've been doing this? I've been walking with the Lord for 32 years. And sometimes in your walk with the Lord, things happen in our lives that can really discourage and disappoint you. Anybody ever experienced any kind of disappointment while you've been a Christian? Well, only half of us. Wow, that's awesome. Some of you guys got blessed lives. I remember as a baby Christian, I mean, I was a horrible guy. You guys all know that. Then I got radically saved, and a lot of things changed. I mean, like kapow. I was set free of so many different things. I was filled with joy, filled with peace. It was awesome, and I believed all these amazing things, and I got these promises from God. I'd read the Bible, and I'd read a promise, and I'd go, that's for me. That's for my family. That's for my church. This is going to happen. God said it is going to happen. Start the watch. You can time it because God's faithful. And so one of the promises was, I read in Genesis, and then it was confirmed to me in Galatians, that through faith in God, the Abrahamic promise, that my family would be blessed. Sweet, because I was the first guy that got saved, so all my family had all the mess that I had, And so I'm like, okay, God, I want to see this. I want to see my family get blessed and get saved and come out of that. Do you know, in just a few years after that, we lost a son. We lost a grandson. We've lost a son-in-law. If I went by how things looked and how things felt, I would have gave up. No doubt about it. You know another thing that God promised me? That I was going to be a leader in that church I got saved in. And then the church had a split. Oh, I'm sorry. It had two splits. If I went by what it looked like and what it felt like, I would have gave up. But God said, my family's blessed. God said that I'm going to be a leader in a church, and now what? Now you look at my family, any relationship in my family, you look at any level in my family is blessed. The son-in-law, I had a son-in-law that passed away too. He got replaced by a new and improved version, let me just tell you. I love my son-in-law. He is a replacement in some ways for the son that I lost, and certainly in every way for my son-in-law that I lost. The grandson that I lost has been replaced with another grandson that is absolutely wonderful. You guys know me and Mason, and I have to say another word about that. My sister's saved. Her husband's saved. Her kids are saved. My daughter's saved. Married a Christian. Yeah, come on. These are amazing things. If I'd have stopped by feelings and what things looked like, though, I'd have missed out. Now, over here, 32 years later of trusting God, I can say that. But sometimes we get the promise, and we're like, oh, awesome, let's go. And you go down, ba-bam, you hit a speed bump. Oh, I don't believe anymore. Forget it. That ain't going to happen. I'm just going to give up. We can't give up. When it's the toughest, means you're very close to breakthrough. Most of the time. When it doesn't feel good is when you're close enough to grab the victory. When things are going crazy and it doesn't feel good and it seems like people around you are getting very emotional, trust God, because the breakthrough is right there. So what were you promised? If I took a poll in this place, I don't think we have too many people that say, oh yeah, I'm a baby Christian. I've only been saved 6 months. Oh, I'm a baby Christian. I've only been saved a year. I don't think there's too many of us that would do that. I think most of you be like, well, I got saved, I don't even know how long, 5, 6, 7, 18, 28, 38 years ago. So what were the promises God gave you when you got saved? What were some of the first things? You got saved, you go and you hear a sermon, and he's saying, well, this is this and this and that, and you're like, oh, God, I want that. That's for me. Or you're reading the Bible. God, you did that for Joseph. I want that for me. I'm believing that for me. What were some of the promises that God said for your life? 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, a month ago. And then other stuff started to happen. I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today. Remind yourself of the promises God gave you that you haven't thought about in a little while, because things got painful, things got tough. Because this is what this is for. God said, listen to this. He has given us his divine power so that in all things, whether they pertain to life or godliness, we can know him more and lay hold of his divine attributes. That's what the verse says. I can't exaggerate. I couldn't even try to imagine to exaggerate, to give you something more, to promise you something more than God promises in these passages. I literally can't. In these passages, he says, if you'll trust me, if you come to me through grace, and trust me, I will give you everything you need in all of life, in all godliness, and I'll even let you partake of my divine nature. What am I going to do? He'll give you a house? This is way better than that. He'll give you a couple cars. Give me a break, dude. He's talking about supernatural, miraculous power in my life in every aspect as I get to know him more and walk in his ways. I want to lay hold of what God laid hold of me for. How about you? What did he grab you for? Do you remember, like, when you first got saved, you were going to what? I've talked to so many people, said, well, I'm going to help people get set free of drugs and alcohol. I'm going to have a ministry to divorce people. I'm going to have a ministry to people that have had abortions. I'm going to have a ministry to teens. I'm going to do serious things for children's ministry. I'm going to go and do outreach. I'm going to lead people. What were your dreams? When you first got saved, what were the things you thought, you know what? I'm going to go to the nations. That was another thing God put on my heart. When I first got saved, it's like, you're going to go to the nations. I'm thinking, how am I going to go to the nations? I've only been to Mexico one time my whole life by then. It's like, how am I going to go to the nations? He said, you're going to go to Africa. I'm thinking, I ain't even met nobody from Africa. Now, 32 years later, I've been to, I don't even know, five or six African nations. I don't know how many weeks and months I've been over there, how many different cities I've gone to, how many people I've had the privilege of sharing the gospel and watch them give their lives to the Lord. Come on, man, God is good. In all of that, though, is the same time period where I lost a grandson and I lost a son and all this crazy stuff was going on with my daughter and her husband. And in the midst of two church splits, God still brought these promises to pass as I trusted him. I could literally go, okay, how about you? How about you? How about you? You're going through stuff. I heard about your stuff this week. I know I just talked to you about that. There's people in here right now that are in battles. And I'm here to tell you, come on. Come on. Trust God by grace. He's got a plan for your life. He's called you to do great things. I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions because people put a lot of faith in some magic date. As if January 1st somehow strengthens the power of a resolution. It doesn't. But what I do like is for us to evaluate ourselves. Just to take a little while and go, okay, how was 2021? Did I do what I wanted to do? Did I grow as a Christian? Did I grow in my relationship with God? What about 2022? This is 2021 going into 2022. What would I like to see? Do I want to lose weight? Do I want to quit smoking? Those are the common things people talk. How about I want to grow in God? I know he's called me to do, you fill in the blank. He's given me a passion to serve in, you fill in the blank. And in 2022, I'm going to grow in that. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to get a hold of his promises. And I'm going to see something happen. Whew. Go, Pastor. You're preaching good now. Okay, I will. Man, have you ever said or thought something like this? My spouse doesn't ever seem to change. I ain't praying for him or her no more. No, none of us have ever done that. My kid or stepkid won't ever change. I'm not praying for him or her anymore. My situation doesn't ever change. I'm not praying about it anymore. Nothing ever changes. In fact, the lost seem to have it better than me. Why should I even bother? Anybody ever thought that or maybe said that in a... I got to say that you guys are way better than this guy. Because some of this stuff in the last 32 years I've said. Some of the stuff I thought and some of the stuff I actually said out loud to other people. Lord, forgive me. Now, let's just remember one thing. I'm saying all these things. I'm challenging us. I know I'm really kind of like raising the bar in here today. But I get to do that because all of y'all gave me this. So anytime I have this shirt on, when you see me come in with this shirt, you can just go, uh-oh, we're going to get challenged today. Somebody thinks they're an awesome pastor. Here it comes. Yep, you started it. Just remember that. What? You want to take another offering? Wow. No, not yet. So, if you've ever caught yourself saying that or thinking that things don't ever change, I'm done praying, this just doesn't ever seem to work, I'm tired of it, da-da-da. If you've ever thought that, let me just tell you, you're not the first one. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, please. I'm going to work on blowing my nose less in 2022. So Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. If you're having trouble finding it, just go to the Gospels and then back up a little bit. We're going to go to Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 13. I really believe that everybody's pretty much the same. I know sometimes people think, well, Some people are really good. They just seem to be good. Even when they're not being good, they're still better than I am when I'm trying my hardest. And other people are really good at this, and other people are not that good. Some people are just really bad no matter what. It's like, can I just tell you, we're all the same? The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't say, well, I'm just going to give you special this, and then I'm going to cheat you out of that. Because then he couldn't be righteous and fair and just. So he creates us all the same, and it's up to us what we want to choose for life. Simple as that. Do we want to choose to trust God, or do we not want to choose to trust God? Because staying neutral is saying no. You know what I mean? The first word in not yet is no. So when God asks you to do something, when God stirs your heart and you respond with a not yet, you're just saying, no, I'm not doing that. God, I don't believe in you. And so, whatever. For all of us that are here today, like I said, I believe you responded to God at some level. You weren't trying to go to McDonald's, and then all of a sudden you're here. You thought you were in a drive-thru. It turns out it was the door to church. It's like you're here today at church to hear something from God. And we're going to read this. There's about, I think it's 6 or 7 verses we're going to read here in Malachi chapter 3 about a group of people that have been going through a really difficult time, and then the prophet Malachi comes to them and he challenges them, and then some of them respond in faith, some don't. But let's watch the story. Even as we're deciding, what one do I want to respond with faith or do I not want to? Malachi 3 verse 13. Your word, this is God, this is Malachi speaking to these people. He's speaking for God, so it's like God saying it to them. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, well, what have we spoken against you? You said, it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. See what I mean? This isn't something new that discouraged people start thinking and saying. Verse 16, but there's a group of people in here that make a decision. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him. Notice the book of remembrance wasn't written for the people. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. As we live faithful lives, our names are entered into a book of faithfulness in front of God. It's a special group of people that are working together to walk in faith to serve God. There's a special book of remembrance for the faithful. I think this is a different book than born-again Christians. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name goes into the Lamb's Book of Life. Boom, it goes in here. This is something different, I think. I think this, because some people, the Bible says some people are going to make it into heaven, and they're still going to smell like smoke. That's how close it was. Right? That's what the Bible says. Some are going to come in there with just a whiff of smoke on them. Just barely. I got saved by Jesus, didn't do another cotton picking thing my whole life. Didn't serve nobody, didn't believe for nothing, didn't pray nothing through, didn't give to nothing, didn't invest any of my life into no person around me. I got saved, I love the Lord, waiting on heaven. Ugh, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the guy that shows up in heaven smelling of smoke that just kind of sneaks under the wire. I want to be the guy that gets into heaven and some of them recognize me because of the stuff I've been doing down here. We've heard about you. You're that Mike Young from Newhall. Yeah, that itty-bitty church. Uh-huh, that's me. Right? Did you ever think about that? I want to be in this book. I'm hoping I'm already in that book. It says, verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one that serves God and the one that does not serve him. God says, as we serve him in faithfulness, he will make a distinction between those that know him and those that don't. Now, if you've been there very many times around me in prayer meetings, prayer groups, I pray that all the time. God, make a distinction between us that know you and those that don't. I don't want to go and try to tell somebody that I know the living God and he's blessed me and redeemed my life and my life looks the same as someone that's lost. That don't make no sense. That's like trying to sell a car that don't work. It runs just as good as that one going down the road, but it's parked right here and I can't get it started. But you should pay me full price. What? If we're going to tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the good news, then our lives ought to look like there's good news in it. So that while we're going through great loss or tragedy or painful experiences, we still have the grace of God in us. We still have the peace, the joy of the Lord, right? That's what makes us different. And then as we walk through like that with our faith on God, focused on God, He redeems situations. I can go up to just about any stranger now and go, my family is so blessed. How's your family? And I'll bet you almost every person, every stranger that I meet, unless they're a Christian my age, their life won't look as blessed as mine. Right? You ever think about that? I want to testify about the goodness of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to always talk about the faithfulness of God, about His precious promises, and His divine nature that's working in me, so that while I'm going through tough times, I still got the joy of the Lord. Man, I know what I'm talking about. We've been through some tough stuff, but God has kept us through all that stuff. And people just like you were alongside us and helped us through it. And we talked about God's faithfulness in the midst of it. And I think God took notice of us and you guys. This group of people had let the challenges and pain of life steal their love of God. If you go back and read Malachi, he starts out by saying, what's this half-hearted crap you're bringing to church? He says it a little bit different, but I'll just try to make it into easy language we all understand. He says, you know, you guys claim to be God lovers. You claim to be worshipers. And then you come in and you do your sacrifices, and that sheep has an eye missing. That lamb is crippled. And then you come and you sacrifice to me. The next time you owe somebody money and you want to pay them back, try paying them back with that crap that you're dropping off at my house and see how they treat you. He talks about a half-heartedness. He says, supposedly, here you are at the temple, supposedly you're giving sacrifices, you're doing the minimum to keep the minimum law, but what happened to your love? If you really loved me, you'd give me your best. Have you ever been to the place where it's like, I'm just going to go to church. I hope it doesn't go long. Whatever. Now, I'm not going to no small groups. I'm fed up with all that mess. I'm not going to read my Bible today. God hasn't even answered my prayer. Whatever. But I'll go to church on Sunday, and people ask me how I'm doing. I'll just say, I'm doing okay. It's good enough. Remember when you first got saved? Do you remember the joy of the Lord when you first got saved? Do you still have it? Did you bring that joy in today? You're coming to church. This is where we're going to worship God. So no matter how these people have been acting out there, no matter how your car's been running, no matter how many bills you owe, no matter all that mess, we come into the house of God to worship the God who saved us. What'd you bring for worship? Were you thinking about your problems all the way through worship? Here you go, here's a half-dead lamb. Here you go, here's a crippled sheep. I'm sure you like that thing. It's getting quiet in here now. Hoo-wee. Hallelujah, glory to God. Where's your love for the Lord? Remember how this all started out? We're saved by grace. Grace and peace multiply to you. Grace and peace multiply to you. We're not a bunch of rule keepers. We're saved by grace. We're God lovers because He first loved us. He loved us so much He saved us. Whew, I'm totally forgiven. By grace we've been saved, and that's a gift. You can't lose it. You cannot lose what you did not earn. But what you earn with perfection can be lost with defection. I know it sounds cool, it's kind of deep, but it's so true. If you're standing with God is only because of how good you are or how good your life is, good luck with that one. This is a broken world with a bunch of broken people. And sometimes good people, well-intentioned, trying to do really good can still hurt you. What? Yeah. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong at the same time. I've done it. There's really no trick to it. So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go back to where we started. Let's put this original passage back in the context. So 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start out with verse 1, and I'm just going to cruise through. We'll finish down there at verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to how we're all the same, we're all created equal. Peter says, I'm talking to people that have the same precious faith as me. No, Peter's an apostle. Peter's done all this. Peter's way up there. I'm just, nuh-uh. Peter said, you got the same faith as me because your faith is in the grace and the saving power of Jesus Christ, not in your track record. Whew. As we read through this, watch this. We have a precious faith and we've given precious promises so we can have a precious future. Watch this. Verse 2. Grace and peace multiply to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions that in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, Lord, we want to be fruitful. Verse 9. For he who lacks in these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, what's it there for? Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. So, if you see verse 5 through 11, there's all these things that we need to start working on. But if you do a comparison with those verses to the original verses that I started in, verses 2, 3, and 4, you'll see that we've already been given all these things. Every single one of those things already was given to us by grace and peace. And as we grow in the knowledge of God and as we trust Him, all these things continue to happen. He says, I just got to warn you, one last thing though, he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Short-sightedness is not being able to look just far enough to remember what you got saved, how you got saved, what you got saved out of, saved from, delivered from. What did God save you from? What did He set you free from? And what is He setting you free into? Because the same God that can take you out of all that junk can lead you into His promises. Whew. Man, I could go on and on and I could do a series on these verses. These things are so amazing. And if you think I was exaggerating a little bit earlier, maybe taking a little bit of liberty that there's a book of the faithful saints and there's the book of the Lamb, why would He say, after He gives us these promises, He tells us the direction, how to do it, stay focused, stay do. And then He finishes up by saying, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. I know every single one of us doesn't want to backslide. I never met a Christian who said, yeah, I'm just hoping to have a hard year, maybe backslide. Maybe take a couple friends with me. He says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Whew. And so an entrance will be supplied, excuse me, to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Now, if everybody enters the kingdom the same, then why would Peter tell us do all this stuff so you can have an abundant entrance? If we're all going in the same, then I don't have to worry about an abundant. There's nothing I can do to change it. But if he's telling me if I'll stay focused on grace and peace and God in me and what He's called me to do and His promises, and I stay focused on all these things, working on these things to stay focused, mind focused on Christ, then when I get up there, there's going to be a different, abundant entrance. I want some. So I'm going to close this all. How do we wrap all this up? How does this affect me and what should I do with it? Because if we only come to church and we hear the word, but we don't do the word, then we are literally, James says, if we come and only hear the word and don't do it, we're deceiving ourselves. Well, I thought the devil was a deceiver. No. If you only come to church and you're not actually trying to apply the word of God to your life, you're deceiving yourself into thinking that you're doing what a healthy Christian does. You're deceived and you're doing it. I'm not doing it. Devil's not doing it. So we've heard the word, and how do we apply this to our lives? Remember, I'm an awesome pastor. Y'all gave me the license. When we believe a lie, we give that lie power. And when you hear things coming out of your mouth like, my spouse will never change, my situation will never change, my child will never change, you've believed a lie. And then when you believe that lie, and you start saying things like that and behaving like that, you've now given that lie power because you're speaking that into that situation and you're acting like that into that situation. If I'm sure my wife will change, I'm going to treat her way differently than if I'm sure she's never going to change. Why bother? She'll never change. I'm not going to bother another time. I don't care if she comes or goes. I couldn't care less. She'll never change. Right? We uninvest. That's the power of a lie. When we believe a lie, we give it power. When we believe a lie, we lose the fulfillment of the promise. God said, my family's blessed. If I believed my family would never change, why bother? I throw that promise away. When you believe a lie, you give the lie power and you defeat the promise of God in your life. Whew. That's big stuff. When we believe a lie, we lose the fulfillment of the promise and we can end up waiting. We're just going to wait now. I'm not working on it. I'm not praying for it. I'm not going to invest in it because I just don't think it's going to change. So why bother? And we end up just waiting for it to completely die or for it to completely blow up, break apart. Well, I'm just going to wait. Listen to this. If we end up waiting, we'll end up waiting for a king that already reigns. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. No, Jesus already been here. He's already taken over everything and he's given us his authority. He rules and reigns through us. Nope, I'm just waiting for him to come back. Oof. We can end up waiting for a kingdom, waiting for his kingdom to come. We're already in his kingdom. We can end up waiting to become something that we already are. All these things I read about that Peter promises, he said we've already got it through God's promises. We already are there. Nope, I'll be perfect when I get to heaven. No, I'll be spirit-filled once I get to heaven. Once Jesus comes back and he enforces his kingdom, then I'm going to be a citizen in heaven. You're all that right now. Where's our heart condition? Are we in love with the Lord? Are we enjoying his love? Are we like, man, I got this promise. And I'm going to use that promise like a hammer. I'm going to break something. I'm going to move something. I'm going to see God in my life by the word that he promised me. I'm going to pray that morning, noon, and light. Anytime I'm talking to somebody, they're going to hear what I'm praying about. And if they say anything negative, I ain't talking to them about that no more. Because I'm believing God for something big to happen. We can end up waiting to do what we should already be doing. Oof. Now, I'm talking to all of you who are just like me. Don't think that I think for one second that I'm some highfalutin pastor or some super mature Christian. I got it all together. I got blah, blah, blah. That's not me. I think you guys know me well enough to know that that's not me. Excuse me once again. Man, I think I'm going to take a loan out and invest in Kleenex. Getting tired of it. I'm talking to all of you because you're just like me. You've obtained a precious faith in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, just like me through grace and mercy. I didn't earn it. You guys can't earn it. We're all saved by his grace. I'm talking to all of you, especially the ones that are in the midst of a disappointment right now, or are discouraged right now, or depressed right now. The holidays are a tough time of year for most people. And the holidays are kind of like grieving. I've said this many times. I'll say it a lot more. When you grieve, Do you ever see how family reacts when families are grieving? Sometimes they come together and there's explosions left, right, and center. It's because grieving, it doesn't actually start anything new. It brings stuff out that might have been buried for a while. The holidays the same way. The holidays are like this pressured environment that all of a sudden we have these really busy schedules, we have these high expectations, and then we're around people that we might have blood connections with, but not too many relational connections. And in the midst of that, somebody says the wrong thing or makes a small decision and kablooey. There it is again. I'm talking, if you're going through something like that today, I'm specifically talking to you. Can I ask you, have you believed a lie? They'll never change. Why bother? This situation will never change. Why bother? I've been going to church for years. I don't think God's ever used me. Why bother? If that's you, I want you to take this sermon to heart. I want you to believe that God saved you because he loves you. He's crazy in love with you. That's why he saved you. He bought you with his son's blood. He literally traded everything in the universe for you. That's how much God loves you. And says he wanted not just to love you. You know, God could have said, ooh, I really love this bottle. I'll trade everything in for this bottle. This is the most wonderful thing in all the galaxy. I now own it. Nobody touch it. Leave it alone. It's only for looks. He could have done that. That's not what he did. God bought us and says, you're staying right here with me now. You're my favorite. Hey, everybody, you see this? This is my most prized possession. This is the closest thing in my life, and I just want to do things with this. That's what God does with us. He saves us and says, now get in my word so you know who I am and what I expect. Get in my word so you know what I think of you. Get in my word so you can unlock my promises and bring the kingdom of God right where you're at right now. I'm working with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's do this thing. That's what God does. He didn't just save us and put us on a shelf. He saved us so we could walk in the fullness of what he created us for. I want to lay hold of what God laid hold of me for. Whew, amen. So the things that you're going through right now, some of the discouragements, some of the things that are taking your attention and even stealing the affection right out of your heart, because what you focus on is what you're actually giving your admiration to. So is this what God saved you for? Some of the stuff you're trying to walk through or walk out of, is that what he saved you? I don't think it is. God says our families are blessed through Christ Jesus. Our families are blessed. God says that all the things that I put my hands to are going to prosper. God says he's called me and anointed me to preach good news. So that means this year, I'm going to keep believing my family to get even more blessed, even more better, absolutely, positively. But I want to be fruitful. Peter said, if I do all these things, I'll be fruitful. Did anybody lead someone to the Lord this last week? Go ahead, raise your hand if you led someone to the Lord this week. Awesome. So did anyone else lead someone to the Lord this last month? They're awesome. Anybody else lead someone to the Lord in the last 6 months? Hey, now we're hitting it. All right. So we have some fruitfulness in this. I want to lead someone to the Lord this week. How about you? I for sure want to lead someone to the Lord this month. And for sure, if I don't lead someone to the Lord in this 6 months, I think that's unacceptable for me personally. How about you guys? How do you describe fruitfulness? Going to church 3 times a month? That ain't fruitfulness. Think of yourself. No, I'm not even going to say that. I just want to encourage us. Let's believe God for fruitfulness. What is fruitfulness to you? Is that encouraging someone at work? Is that helping someone that's having a difficult time in their marriage? When was the last time you even shared your testimony with someone? Just shared Christ with somebody. Because us sharing our testimony, sharing the love of God, that's up to us. People getting saved, that's up to them and God. I can't make somebody get saved, but I can make me share my testimony. I can make me share the good news of Jesus Christ. I can't make them get saved. But we all have to decide. In this coming year, how fruitful do we want to be? What do we want to try to believe for? Because now's the time to believe God. And I want to say this just really clearly. If you felt him stir you this morning, believe he is calling you to more and respond. If you felt God stir you in anything that I said this morning, would you please believe that he's calling you for more and would you respond? If you know that he convicted you about your heart condition towards your family or friends, would you please respond today? If you know that you just aren't as excited to know this Jesus as you once were, would you respond today? And this is what I'm going to give you, just clear instruction about how to respond. Is this a perfect way to respond when God speaks to you? No, but it's a way. It's a thorough way. How do we respond to God when we know that he's stirring us and convicting us? It's very simple. We respond by repentance. Because to lay hold more of God, I'm focused on something, whatever that is, that I feel I should be less focused on. I think that's what God stirred a lot of us. So I have to turn from that, and then I turn to God in faith for his promises for my life. That's what repentance is. I turn from sin, and I turn to faith. So if you feel like God stirred you or convicted you, or if you just feel like you're not as excited about Jesus as you once were, would you respond in repentance? And that's simple as this. Acknowledge to God that you believed a lie. Because every time we sin, it's because we believed a lie. Simple as that. Why do I smoke? I don't smoke, but some of that smoke. The reason I would smoke is because I think smoking helps me in something. Why do people drink? Because they believe it helps them in something. Why do people do any kind of sin? Because somehow it adds to their life, and that's believing a lie. So we start by acknowledging to God that we believed a lie instead of trusting him. We need to ask God to forgive us for sinning against him and ask God to renew us and refresh us with his love. So just to re-clarify, and then I'm just going to give us a moment of silence for all of us can just do business with God on our own. If you've been stirred today, just respond to God and say, God, I believed a lie about whatever that was. Would you please forgive me? Would you refill me once again with your love and fill me with a fresh passion for you? Would you do that, Lord, in Jesus' name? So I'll just give everybody a couple of minutes to pray. Talk to God, whatever it is, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Bible that is ink on paper until we read it and mix it with faith and it becomes the living word of God inside us. And I thank you and praise you for that so much. Father, I thank you for every single man and woman that's here today, whether they're here in the building or listening on the internet. Lord, I just thank you for each one of them. They're special and unique, and I know that you saved them with a purpose. You've saved them with a high holy calling, and you've not finished yet what you have for each one of them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would refresh them in your love, that you would refill them with your love. Father, all of us can get discouraged and get diluted and unfocused. And Lord, I just pray that today, through your grace and your mercy, that you would fill us with your presence and power to take our thoughts captive, to make decisions in you, and live out those decisions by your power and your grace. Would you please do that, Father? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless all of you. Just a reminder that on the 31st, we'll have a party here from 6 till 10. Bring a dish to pass, bring a favorite game, and we'll have some fun. So God bless you, and have a great week.